Chapter 1. With drums banging and the sweet notes of a Chinese violin trembling in the air, the enormous red and gold dragon shook its great head and danced its way across the rotunda of the Gibbs Museum in Charleston, South Carolina. It was the opening night celebration for the reconstruction of a genuine 18th century Chinese tea house. And the creme de la creme of society had turned out in full force for this most auspicious occasion. And even though black tie events weren't exactly topmost in Theodosia Browning's comfort zone, there had been no easy way to refuse this particular invitation, especially when your handsome, hunky boyfriend was the museum's public relations director. So here she was, applauding the music, mesmerized by the spectacle of the enormous dragon's gaping jaws as it snapped and slapped above the heads of the excited crowd. Yes, the event was most impressive, Theodosia decided. Glowing red Chinese lanterns, stands of bamboo, elegant orchids, and miniature Penjing trees had transformed the cold marble rotunda into an exotic Asian garden. And then there was the food. Serving tables were laden with tempting bites of shrimp dumplings, honey-glazed pork buns, chicken satay, and miniature crispy duck rolls. Delicious. Of course, the real treasure was the Chinese tea house itself, purchased and deconstructed in Shanghai, then rebuilt, board by board, inside the museum. The blue-tiled, exotically peaked roof, gleaming cypress walls, and intricately carved sandalwood screens seemed tailor-made for an emperor and his courtesans. "I'm anxious to take a look inside," Theodosia told Max, who was gazing about proudly, if not a little distractedly. "We pulled it off," said Max. "I can't believe we actually pulled it off." He sounded surprised that his PR efforts had yielded such a turnout. "Of course you did," Theodosia told him, "because nobody would pass up an opportunity to enjoy a fancy celebration like this. Except maybe me," she thought. Theodosia had a smile that could light up a tea room, and often did, since she was the proprietor of the Indigo Tea Shop on nearby Church Street. But tonight, she'd been smiling so exuberantly that her face felt like it was about ready to crack. She'd flitted about on Max's arm, chatting and rubbing shoulders with Charleston's old guard, most of them big buck donors, who were thrilled that their money had made it possible to import this masterpiece of a tea house. But Theodosia was also counting the seconds to midnight, because when the clock struck the proverbial witching hour, she planned to cut and run like Cinderella. She'd kick off her pinchy black satin heels, climb into her pumpkin coach, which in this case was her venerable 6-year-old Jeep, and head home to her cozy little cottage, where her dog, Earl Grey, awaited her. Shaking her head and forcing another smile because Max was saying something to her again, she leaned toward him and said, "Excuse me?" "I need to schmooze a couple more board members," said Max. "You'll be okay?" "I'll be perfect," said Theodosia. "Go check out the photo booth," Max urged, "while I huddle with Edgar Webster, one of our illustrious donors." He grinned. "Maybe take a selfie." As a fun perk for the guests, Max had convinced the museum director to let him bring in a photo booth. And just as he'd predicted, there had been a constant parade of guests in and out of the booth all night long. Everyone was seemingly thrilled with the notion of immortalizing themselves in photos, even if they were the small black and white variety. "I'll do that," Theodosia told him. "It'll be fun." As she turned to push her way through the crowd, she caught sight of herself in a fragment of mirror, and as always, the image gave her pause. "Is that really me? With that mass of auburn hair framing my face, and blue eyes looking so expectant? I don't look half bad for being in my mid-30s," she thought. She'd swiped a hint of